We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Kind of as if Mark LaVoy knew exactly what story we were going to be doing here.
Yeah.
But you heard the story in Mark's newscast. Last night, vandals took aim at, sprayed their spray paint on a statue of Andrew Jackson downtown. This was the one that was outside the Jackson County Courthouse. Two suspects were arrested, two 25-year-old white males. And with that, then, the Jackson County executive, Frank White, has been calling for that statue to be removed. And I think this will be the beginning of where now we're going to be looking at any other statue and any other name of anything in our city to see what else needs to be changed.
Yeah, sure. And we're not the only ones. And I mean, the argument can be made, and I'm sure it will, that this isn't the way to do it. And I would go along with that, that, you know, there is a process that you can go through if you want something like that to be removed. And you may get an answer you don't like, but does that mean that you go through and just start spray painting things or just start dragging things down? Well, it's happening. That's the only thing we can really say about it, is that whether we like it or not, this is what's going on. And this is the tack a lot of people are taking on this stuff. Point of curiosity, Andrew Jackson's from Tennessee. Why is there a statue of him here?
That's a very good question. I don't know. There's two of them here. There's one outside of both of the Jackson County courthouses, the other one in Independence as well.
Yeah.
I don't know what his association is.
Seems an odd connection, but because, I mean, I know as a general, he was a big deal in the Battle of New Orleans. And certainly, I mean, I've been to the Hermitage, which was his estate in Tennessee. It's, I think it's in Cookeville or somewhere up there, somewhere north of Nashville. And that's where he lived. I mean, that is a piece of history. You know, when people talk about erasing history and all of that, pulling down statues doesn't bother me. Again, presuming that it's done according to process, I don't just mean knocking them flat, but,
right.
You know, getting rid of statues and things like that, that doesn't bother me because that's not erasing history. The history is still there, but it's just taking an honor away from somebody who maybe didn't deserve one. And with Andrew Jackson, it's a little tough because you have, you know, again, success in battle that was essential to preserving the Union in 1812. But you also have a really, really troubling history as president, and not only as a slave owner, which is one of the things that was spray painted on his statue last night, but also the Trail of Tears. I mean, that is a stain on this country's history that will never, ever go away. And he was one of two presidents who presided over that. So you can't take that part of it away and just say, okay, well, we'll ignore that because he was a good general at the Battle of New Orleans.
It's funny because the Kansas City Star had a story this morning, and the headline on this was Jackson, Johnson, Warnell, slaveholders all, is it time to change Kansas City area names? Because I know, the direction conversations like this go is, well, should we just change the name of everything?
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I mean,
not?
Maybe. That's not a preposterous idea to me, is that sure, I don't have a problem with going through and saying, and it's not one of those things of like, well, anything that offends anybody would. No, I mean, genuinely look at the context of the people and say, is this something, you use the word honor a lot, and I think that's the right word. Is this a way we want to honor these people? Should these people be honored anymore? You know, and just choose more benign ways to title things.
my favorite example of this, and we've brought it up a couple of times here over the course of the last few months, is the neighborhood in Washington, this subdivision in Washington State that was called Swastika Acres. And it was named that way before the Nazis even existed. It had nothing to do with them. But when they finally discovered that again, you know, during the back in the 1990s, they said, oh, you know what? We really ought to take that name off of there because of what it means now. And knowing the context of history and knowing what the name Andrew Jackson means now, maybe it is time to do that.
So they've got a list in here, the Star does, of among the names that currently define the Kansas City area, and Jackson County is the first one, obviously. Again, name for Andrew Jackson. I don't know why we had to name anything after Andrew Jackson, but nonetheless. Johnson County was named for Reverend Thomas Johnson, who was a Methodist missionary who established Shawnee Indian Mission in Fairway. He was a slaveholder and Southern sympathizer. Clay County, named for Henry Clay, which is a name we know pretty well. He owned 60 slaves. And so Cass County's on here. Troost Avenue is named for a Dutch physician who was a slave owner and built the first brick hotel. I'm learning so much Kansas City history here. I didn't know the first brick hotel was the Gillis House Hotel. McGee Street is named for an early pioneer who had slaves. That's what a lot of this is. So do we go through then and just pick new names for these people? Or do we realize that it's just a name?
Yeah, well, and here's the funny part about that is that one of the names that you mentioned happens to be an ancestor of mine. I'm related to Henry Clay. And not only him, there's a couple of other ones that, you know, way back in the family, a lot of Kentucky folk, because that's where my family lived back in the day. But, you know, if they said, okay, Henry Clay was a slave owner, therefore we want to change this. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. If you want to stop naming stuff after slave owners or take those names back down, I'm cool with that. Go ahead.
So what's the line that you draw? You know, if we're going to do it, let's do it now. You know, let's start evaluating all of these now. Why not? And so what side of this debate are you on? And if you want to draw a line somewhere, what's the line that you want to draw? You know, do we look at all slave owners? What's the defining characteristic that we use there to determine if these are some of these names that should be changed? If you want to get in on the conversation, 576-7798, text in 913-576-7798. Again, Jackson County Executive Frank White's calling for the two statues that we have in the county of Andrew Jackson to come down. The one that was defaced out here in Kansas City, and then the other one in Independence. What do you think about taking the statues down? We can get to some calls. We'll go to Lenexa first and get Steven on the line. Hi, Steven.
Hey, boy, that's a big blow. Grace and I come from the same set of relatives, probably.
Well, hey, man, blow, cool. Man.
Well, you know, I think Frank White's completely right about this. I'm more troubled about the sort of Trail of Tears thing than I am about the slavery deal. I mean, if slavery's bad, but he was instrumental in the deaths of a bunch of Native Americans. And he actually beat his slaves. So I have no problem with taking those things down. It's just sort of the, we have Lincoln and we have Teddy Roosevelt, and they're sort of like, we're ascribing context to the statues. When Teddy Roosevelt had guards, you know, he had guards and scouts. And I'm not sure that that's very offensive. I'm Lincoln was one of the greatest presidents of all time. And because we just don't like how it looks today, I want debate. I want debate and I want people to talk about it and I want to have this conversation, but we should not be tearing them down. I don't think Frank White should be getting heat for this because Jackson had some great things. And boy, he had some terrible things. I would not ascribe a hero's value to a guy who murdered a bunch of American Indians and then beat his slaves. So I mean, this is a real kind of conundrum here. But I want more discussion. I don't want people tearing stuff down just because they think it looks bad. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. And as long as those discussions can go on without the craziness and the raised voices and the, you know, you can't take my history away and all of that, as long as we can actually have an intellectual discussion about it, absolutely.
Well, I love history. I mean, as of most things, you can't ascribe heroic qualities. Everyone is human. Everyone is everyone has their good points and some of their down points. No one except maybe Gandhi or Martin Luther King or Mother Teresa is perfect. So, you know, we just have to discuss it and have the interchange of ideas rather than just saying, well, you know, Lincoln was a great man. I'm sure Lincoln had some bad points to him, but and the same for Teddy Roosevelt. But boy, I just don't see the evil in those statues. I just don't see the inherent evil. I don't have that meanness or that spirit in my heart, I guess. That's all I had to say about it.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for the call. And in that same spirit, not only is it true what he said, exactly true, that yes, everybody has good points to them and bad points to them. I mean, that's not breaking any ground. But it's also true that people are a product of the time in which they live. And we live our lives by what the traffic will allow when we are alive. And there is every possibility, Jamie, that you and I will be judged very harshly by our great-grandchildren's children, whom we will never meet. Because how could they live like that?
For things we don't even know right now.
Exactly. For things that you and I...
For things we have no clue.
That we consider to be just every day. This is how life works. And yet they would look at that and say, what, you barbarians, how could you? That will happen. You know, that's just part of being alive. But okay, all I can do is have a good conscience about what I'm doing today.
We have several of you on hold. We'll take a break here. We'll get to your calls coming up in just a few minutes. It's 10:45 on KBZ. All right, we'll go back to the phones here as we talk about Jackson County Executive Frank White has talked about wanting to take down the two statues that we have of Andrew Jackson in Jackson County. What do you think, and where should we draw the line? If you want to get in, 576-7798, go to Westport first and talk to Johnny. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, hi, guys. I love your show. My thoughts is, as an African-American male, actually as an American male that's black, let me get that out of the way.
Okay.
I think we should leave it as up to a vote of what gets changed and what gets knocked down. My history is just as important as someone else's history in America when it comes to us being Americans. So we shouldn't just rush out and try to change what's made our history. We leave it to the voters, you know, and that way you have an equal amount of say in what should be changed. Going around knocking them down, I don't think is the way to go. Some of us live in a victim mentality that never experienced any of the things that our forefathers experienced, but we're still living in that same drawn, tensed up atmosphere, and it's unnecessary.
Okay. I agree with you. I mean, but how often do you revisit that? If you put it to a vote today, you would get one result. If you put it to a vote 10 years from now, you may very well get another result. You know, what's to say that a vote today is the way that it should be forever?
Well, the vote today is going to be what's determined it when it becomes an issue again. I mean, we all don't like who we chose as president 5 or 10 years ago. You know, but that's not going to change what happens. You know, it's a decision that we need to be able to live with because we aren't responsible. The generations today aren't responsible for what's going on now. As far as these statues, as far as these rights, our rights have been established, and we should use those rights in a good way. And if you don't feel the need to vote for these things, then... And then we should be able to change in the way that our rights work in America.
So if something becomes a thorn in our side as a country, we get together, we vote on it. It's like a direct democracy, and then you know we live with that vote until it becomes an issue again, and then we vote on it again.
That's exactly how it's happened in the past.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot for the call. Thank you very much,
guys.
You got it.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, look, you were going to say something.
Well, I was considering it.
Okay.
No. I mean, I think that it's an important thing to note that this isn't all about color. This isn't all about. I mean, we all share the same history. Yeah, but this isn't all about color. I have a big problem with the fact that there are statues to Confederate generals in this country. I think that's the most ridiculous thing. Now, there is a statue of Benedict Arnold's foot, but that's a story for another day. The fact that we have statues and monuments to people who committed treason against the United States in the United States is heinous to me. That is a stain on our society. It should have never happened, and they should have been gone a long time ago. So, and that has nothing to do, I'm a white guy, you know, but those guys committed treason. So, I don't think this is necessarily, I mean, I understand what he's saying about people living in a victim mentality, but I don't think that that's what this is. I don't think this is evidence of that. I think this is righting a wrong that was committed a long time ago when we thought it was a good idea to start putting up statues to people who did horrible things in the name of the United States and really were responsible for a lot of the worst things in our history.
All right. Well said. Let's go back to the phones. And if you want to get in, 576-7798. Miriam is where we head next, and we'll talk to Grant. Hey, Grant, how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good. Hey, appreciate your show. And between your screener and the last call, it really gave me a lot of food for thought there. We were talking about statues where they're on horses and such, and I'm thinking, I'm going to go to the statue of J.C. Nichols. You know, he did as an economic and a social, I don't want to use the word oppression. It sounds small, but the fact is, he prevented people from moving into suburbs. I don't want to go there. I'm more interested in the discussion. But then does that fountain come out? Changing the name doesn't do anything. It's like sandstone. You know, it's always be sandstone. But the, does that come out? The Meyer Boulevard fountains come out. Not to mention the fact that he saves the city millions of dollars. But, where the line is drawn to me is where that discussion is really going to be, is going to be really what defines our character as we respond to this awareness that's just been hitting us in the face.
So you think leaving it there, because it once had that name on it, that even leaving the object there is going to be enough of a remembrance?
Well, isn't it going to be attractive? It's a beautiful fountain, but that's part of the game. You know, you can't take away, I don't know squat about horses, but I see a guy riding a horse. And I think that's a terrible person, but a fountain that's in my lifetime. You know what what J.C. Nichols was doing to oppression and in restrictions through the homeowner association, through really suppression. I mean, this is society's repression, which in my opinion goes generations back, just like slavery. And so my question is, do you walk by that fountain and say, well, it used to be called J.C. Nichols because of J.C. Nichols developed blah, 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 blah. And then suddenly the actual, the redefinition falls pale because it's
shadowed. But eventually people learn those new names. Eventually over generations, people forget kind of what the old connotation was.
And it is a generational thing. Yeah, one of these days we're not going to be here anymore and our kids won't know what was once the J.C. Nichols fountain,
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, it's a great discussion, and I'm just proud to be having this in a civil, a good adult conversation. Good stuff. Great show,
you
guys.
You got it.
Appreciate
it. Hey, Grant, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We would prefer it that way always, but
but sometimes our best efforts. Sometimes.
But to his point, I mean, I was again when I was in Florida, Tampa changed the name of Buffalo Avenue to Martin Luther King while I was there. And it was probably 10 years that I was there before. And still, in my head, I think of it as being Buffalo Avenue, not because I don't like Martin Luther King, but it's just because that's, when I think of something on that street, I don't call it that anymore, but that's the first name pops into my mind it's on Buffalo and Adamo.
Right.
It's hard sometimes to get unused to that and to change those names in our heads.
But eventually we will stop calling it Oklahoma Joe's, and eventually we'll stop calling it the Sears Tower. You know,
very
good. So eventually you get used to the new names. You know,
yes.
It just takes a couple of generations to get there. Thanks to everybody who got in and allowed us to have a conversation that was, in fact, pretty civil. We always like that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.